Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, folks. We're here at the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation Centennial Celebration. It's the first time that they've been able to get together for 2 years, a two-year hiatus as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. And you can feel the energy here throughout the room. People are really excited, interacting with one another. Obviously, communication is key. We've talked about that several times. Joining us now is Andrew Walmsley, Senior Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation. Andrew is from Florida, but comes to us from the swamp in D.C., that is.
That's right. That's right. Just always finding swamps.
So. He jumped from one swamp to the other, from the Everglades to Washington, D.C. Obviously, the Louisiana Farm Bureau that we're celebrating the 100 years today is about Louisiana. You guys are kind of, I guess, of the parent organization that overlooks farm bureaus throughout the country, right?
Well, almost opposite. We are a federated organization, and so our members are part of the state farm bureaus. The state farm bureaus are our members, so they really tell us what to do. We're a grassroots organization, and that's what's key. And as you mentioned, being here, it's almost like a reunion, you know, seeing friends, family, folks getting together to talk agricultural issues.
You from an agricultural family?
I had a little citrus and cattle growing up, and my dad worked in the tobacco industry, so a degree in ag, and then I've been working for Farm Bureau a little over 16 years.
Oh, awesome. So, obviously, I asked this question of a couple of folks thus far. In your career, do you remember a more volatile time than now for farming?
No. I mean, it's really amazing what we've lived through the last handful of years, and even before, you know, the pandemic, we had the trade war with China that really impacted agriculture. And then we talk about black swan events, and it's a flock of black swans, you know, with restaurants shutting down overnight and markets being ripped out from, you know, the ground underneath farmers, to now just this volatility in markets with high input prices, high energy costs, you know, inflationary pressures, what consumers are seeing. So really wild times we're living through.
And I got to imagine you guys spend a lot of time dealing with the economics of this industry, but I want to more focus on farmers' ability to borrow money, working capital, things of that nature. Where do they stand at the present time with all of this volatility?
Well, you've got to be a good business person, right? I mean, that's key in any industry. I know there's, you know, there's the nostalgia of agriculture, right? And we don't ever want to lose that and the importance it plays in the fabric of our country. But at the end of the day, you know, you've got to run a good business. And so being able to manage those challenges are going to set you up for success. You know, in agriculture, a lot of times we've got land assets, but cash poor, you know, and how do you navigate that? That's why tax policy is so important. You look at, you know, interest rates rising, and if you, times you got to borrow money, you know, to make it cash flow till you get a crop harvested. And so this volatility, you know, in anything, you know, creates opportunities, creates challenges. Thankfully, for a lot of our producers, we are seeing a little bit higher commodity prices that can help absorb some of those shocks. Not everyone. You look at a state like Louisiana, our rice producers are struggling. They're not seeing that. And, you know, for consumers, you see these higher prices in the store, and we're trying to do everything we can to bring that down. But, you know, the farmers aren't reaping the benefit of that. For the most part, that's being eaten up with input cost. You look at the price of diesel. I mean, everything we touch in our economy is tied to diesel, from our tractors to the trucks we load our harvest on to getting it to the grocery store. So it's all these middle pieces, too, that are eroding. And so what we're focused on as an organization and as an advocacy group is try to how do we bring these costs down? How do we reduce regulatory barriers and unleash the innovation and ingenuity that is American agriculture?
As we look at all of these challenges and we look across the landscape of the United States, are there some regions that are not as heavily impacted as others? So, for example, insurance, you know, and being able to insure what you do and otherwise. Do you see differences, anomalies there, region by region?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's one of the key things with anything we do, particularly out of Washington, is a one-size-fits-all usually doesn't work,
doesn't work, right?
It doesn't work. You look at the diversity of agriculture here in Louisiana, you expand that across the country, you have unique challenges. You've got agronomic conditions you have to account for. And so when we look at policies, when you look at things like crop insurance, you know, it's an important program. It's a program that farmers pay into. There's a cost share there with the government to help manage risk. You know, national security is tied to our ability to feed ourselves, right? And so having those risk management tools are key. And so we do see some regionality where crop insurance works better for some parts of the country and other areas that create some challenges. And so we're always trying to improve those programs. We've got a farm bill coming up in 2023, which is our major policy program that looks at farm policy over a five-year period. So we're starting to gear up for that. And that's part of what we'll do at this annual meeting is farmers, ranchers get together, talk about policy, what's working, what's not, and then we can inform our elected representatives on how to improve that.
The climate activists kind of have farmers in the crosshairs on a number of different issues. Is that something of significant concern for you guys going into the development of the 2023 Farm Bill?
Yeah, no. You know, climate is everywhere. You've seen, you know, private sector commitments, and we can talk about what is causing that. Is that, you know, genuine concern, or is it, you know, some greenwashing and activist shareholders, or there is good to be done in this space. And obviously, it's a focus, too, of this administration. And so what we're trying to navigate are the things that benefit not only the environment, but helps resiliency of our farms and our rural communities. And so voluntary incentive-based, market-based programs tend to work much better. When you look at agriculture in this country, you know, we're producing more while utilizing less, almost 3-to-1 over the last, you know, couple of decades. When you look at greenhouse gas emissions globally, agriculture is about 25%. Here in the U.S., we're only 10%. And so you look at our per unit emissions over the last 30 years, we're down almost to all commodities. And so we're going to have to continue that trend, this idea of sustainable intensification. We have a moral imperative to feed 9.5-10 billion people in the next couple of decades. And so when we look at policy proposals, we need to ensure we're encouraging that innovation and not hampering that. And so that's really what we're focused on, is those partnerships, not carbon taxes, not mandates that'll put farmers out of business.
The detractors, they're not following the science? Because I've read a lot about this, of what you just articulated, and the data, the evidence-based outcomes that are reported on, it's almost as if they run totally contrary to their messaging.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of debate around the science, and for us, unfortunately, what only science matters at the end of the day, a lot of times it's political science. And so, yeah, you know, and you can talk about all this data. And obviously, I think none of us are denying that the climate's changing. I mean, it's been changing since the beginning of the time, right?
Right.
And farmers, you know, have faced weather and climate since we stopped being hunters and gatherers. We got the toughest business partner there is, and that's Mother Nature.
Right.
And so as long as we have the tools to be able to adapt to those challenges, and then we're not creating public policy that puts us out of business, you know, I think we'll be okay. Leave some of the other debates, and you know, I think there's a lot to be said in that space. But at least for us, it's you know, and what do consumers want? At the end of the day, we got to respond to markets. And
right.
So if consumers are demanding this, if companies are pushing farmers in this direction, how do we navigate it in a way that works for all interested parties?
I know y'all are always looking to the future. And there's been significant advances. I mean, we're not our grandpa's farm any longer. If it's hybrids or whatever it may be, where do we see ourselves going over the next 10 to 20 years?
Well, there's tons of challenges facing us, right? You know, a challenging world where you look at geopolitics, you know, food's back in the forefront. You know, what's made...
Which is the first time in a long time.
Which is in a long time, absolutely. People take for advantage, you know, haven't really thought
until
about
Until they go reach for that on that shelf and they grab a void.
Right,
and
right.
Not a can, right?
Yeah, or they check out and they see their bill. Again,
right.
Multiple factors there. But we've got to be excited for the future. I mean, you wouldn't plant a seed and expect a harvest if you weren't an optimist in agriculture, right? You wouldn't last very long. So we got to continue to invest in ag research. We're falling behind a lot of other countries. I think we're behind China now and a few other countries when it comes to our our ag research
Why
budget.
Why is that?
Just not a focus. I mean, it's policy priorities. It's where they see the value in that.
So we've reached a comfort level, and there's exactly. no exigency, right?
Right, right. I think that's part of it. But that's what's led to a lot of our success, that innovation, those improved genetics in our herds. It's hybrid seeds, it's biotechnologies, precision agriculture, and it's farmers' willingness to take risk and try and experiment new production practices, which has led to this growth. So we can't lose that. And so as long as we keep getting the tools that farmers need, that we invest in research, that we don't create a regulatory environment that stifles innovation, we should be able to move forward.
Yeah. Final thoughts?
No, just appreciate the opportunity to be here. You know, at the end of the day, you know, there's the saying, you might need a lawyer once in your life, you might need a doctor every now and then, but you need a farmer three times a day, right,
yeah.
to eat. And so never losing sight of that. You know, we're partners with consumers. We've got challenges, but we're committed to trying to work through them.
You know, going back to Mother Nature, I had a farmer friend who told me that he had a very fickle partner. I knew some of his partners, and I'm trying to figure out who he's talking about. He looks me dead in the eye. He goes, Mother Nature.
Yeah, toughest business partner there is.
Absolutely. Andrew Walmsley, thank you so much for joining us today. We truly appreciate your time and your insight, and best of luck to you, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All righty.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.